Your sense of competence and mastery and the self-confidence that goes with it actually begins with self-analysis and self-awareness. And in analyzing yourself to determine what it is that would be ideal for you to do, here are 6 approaches you can use. First, ask yourself, what talents, skills, and abilities do you seem to have naturally? What areas of school and work have you naturally gravitated toward? Every person is put on this earth with a unique combination of ingredients and talents that makes him or her different from anyone else who's ever lived. And it's only when you find the situation that can most benefit from your special capabilities that you'll be able to make your greatest contribution and enjoy the greatest rewards, both tangible and intangible. A second method is to divide your activities into 4 quadrants, as Viktor Frankl, the founder of logotherapy, has recommended. The 4 quadrants are divided up by what is easy to do versus what is hard to do, and what is easy to learn versus what is hard to learn. In the first quadrant, you find jobs and activities that are hard to learn and hard to do. These are probably areas for which you have no natural facility and from which you get very little pleasure. The second quadrant contains things which are easy to learn but hard to do. Hard physical labor might fall into this category, like digging a ditch with a shovel. It's easy to learn, but it's always hard. The third quadrant contains things that are hard to learn but easy to do. Driving a car or typing with a typewriter might fall into this category. They are difficult to learn at first, but once you've learned them, they're very easy and they're often automatic to do afterwards. The fourth quadrant, in terms of what you should ideally be doing, is the most important. These are the jobs that are easy to do, and they were so easy to learn that you often forgot that you learned them at all. These are invariably the types of jobs or the kind of work at which you excel and which is almost effortless to you, although it may be extremely difficult for others. This is probably what you should be doing with your life. A third method of analysis is to look back over your life and ask yourself, what activities, behaviors, or decisions have been most responsible for my successes in life to date? You'll probably find that less than 5% of the things that you have said or done have accounted for most of the progress that you've made in your career. Often we call these turning points or moments of truth. You may find that it was your unique ability to solve a particular kind of problem or to see a particular type of opportunity. You may find, in thinking back, that it was an interpersonal skill that had to do with influencing and persuading other people at a particular time and place. You may find upon analysis that it was an ability to take charge and accept responsibility for accomplishing a particular goal. Whatever has been responsible for your successes in life to date may be a good indication of the direction that you should go in the future. A fourth method of analysis is for you to simply describe in detail the kind of money you would like to earn, the kind of work you'd like to do, the people you'd like to work with, the kind of customers you'd like to sell to, and the kind of lifestyle that you would like to have as it pertains to your occupation. As you think through the kind of job that would make you happy, you may find that it is a completely different field from the one you are now in. A fifth method of analysis has to do with what I call return on energy. Leaders in every field are very careful to apply their talents and energies where they can make the greatest difference and achieve their greatest return on the amount of their energy that they invest in any endeavor. They adamantly refuse to take on jobs or to work in areas where they cannot perform at exceptional levels. They treat themselves as a valuable resource and they spend themselves very, very carefully. One of the things that you might do is to continually ask yourself if what you're doing is the highest and best use of your time and talents in any situation. Is this the most valuable thing that you could be doing, given your particular combination of abilities? Often, answering this question will help you to see that there's a vast difference between what you are currently doing and what you should be doing if you want to be fulfilling more of your potential. The sixth method of analysis in seeking out your heart's desires, probably the most important of all, though not easy. It is simply to do what you love to do. Every really successful, happy man or woman will say that the reason for their success is that they are doing what they love to do. Unfortunately, there's an old myth in our society that suggests that work is a penalty you pay during the day so that you can get your enjoyment from other things in the evenings or on the weekends. Work is sometimes viewed as a punishment, but something that's unavoidable, so you often do it with as much dignity and forbearance as possible, but you never really think about whether you enjoy it or not. This attitude is not for you. Your life is too precious and valuable. Every minute of it should be spent doing things that you love and enjoy and care about and which make you happy. The wonderful thing is that the highest paid people in America are usually found working at jobs that they enjoy so much that they hate to go home at night. And the lowest paid people in America are invariably found at jobs they dislike, where they are just going through the motions. Choosing the right work for you is central to your enjoying high feelings of self-esteem and self-confidence, not only in your work, but in every other area of your life.